Hello and welcome to the Dementia Podcast. I'm your host, Colm Cunningham, and it is great to have you join us on this three-part festive edition. I'm going to be joined by friends and colleagues from across the world as they provide their advice and guidance on things that we should think about in this festive season on how we support people with dementia and carers. Now, these podcasts have been recorded over a number of days and from different locations, so you will notice a little bit of a change in the audio. Now, let's introduce my first guest, our CEO of Hammond Care, Mike Baird, to speak about his personal experience of Christmas.
Well, Colin, there's probably two parts to it. As a Christian, it's central. And, you know, each year there are many distractions and many impacts, but my faith is always central. But as Christmas comes along and the message and the chance to reflect particularly on Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus and his impact and, you know, what that means to me is very central. And I, in a very busy years, it is an absolute sort of rock upon which to reorientate yourself and remind yourself sort of each day. So it's very special from a faith point of view. And it's a similar thing in terms of perspective. We all live busy lives. And I think that what we find at Christmas, we come back to those things that matter. Mm-hmm. And whether it be our faith, but it also those we love. And I, you know, think about who is around the table on Christmas Day. And it's those people that shaped you, formed you, influenced, that you love with every ounce of your being, and they're rare moments, you know, rare moments. So very special from a connection into family and faith point of view.
And 2020 was our International Dementia Conference, and you did share about family there because you talked about your mum, and obviously you must have lots of memories about what a Christmas with your mum in the Baird household is like. Can you share a little bit with us?
Yeah, so, well, Mum is a great reflection of Christmas because she was central. You know, my father had a, he has a big heart, but the details of organising Christmas were not a skill set. but my mother did. She always wanted to make Christmas special. She started those, the advent calendars, and they went from sort of very small to quite elaborate, small little gifts each day for the 24 days, sort of as we got a bit older. But she always had the Christmas carols playing. She always loved having trees out. And she took great pride. We lived in Germany for a few years growing up. So she had all these sort of beautiful Christmas decorations that probably look more appropriate in Bonn, Germany than necessarily they do in Sydney, Australia. But they were beautiful. And again, it was part of that reorientation, just a reminder of what matters, you know, faith and family. And she made it very special. There was one particular sort of episode where she was, my father used to be in politics, and when he did radio interviews, he had to pick up the phone, leave it on the bench, and then go into the next room to pick the phone up. And he was doing an interview, those across the world may not know, but those in Sydney and across Australia know Alan Jones. He was doing an interview with Alan Jones, and he was in trouble for something, I don't know what it was, but while he was being berated, in the background was my mother singing Christmas carols because they forgot to hang the phone up. So that the interview kept going, and my mother went live across Sydney singing Christmas carols, something that she's still embarrassed to this day.
Christmas is a time when all of us have roles as we come together as families. Mike has just touched on that with his father and his mother. So for the person with dementia joining in the family activities, they may have been the person who was the key cook or the maker of the stuffing on all these other roles that we all know we have, who makes the punch, all of that sort of stuff. So what is the role of a person with dementia during this time, and how hard it may feel to not have the same role and be involved in the same way? So our first tip is to think about the importance of involving the person with dementia in the activities around them, but at a pace and in a way that works for them. Our second tip for a dementia-friendly Christmas is to think about the impact of noise and the importance of a quiet pace. Christmas is a time where many people are gathered together, and it can often be noisy and people in a small, busy space. And for a person living with dementia, there can be competing noises from many different sources. Think about the TV, Christmas music,
all of the bluster that's coming from the kitchen and everybody arriving, doorbells, you can think that there are so many noises going on. Our advice in this instance is to try and think about how together you can reduce noise levels and think about what's happening for the person with dementia. So thinking about having one source of music or television at a time, thinking about perhaps having a space that if a person is needing to retreat from the business while all the guests are arriving, they can do so without feeling excluded. And also to understand that there are some real things that can be going on for the person. We know that research is showing that people can actually find some pitches actually painful. So when you see somebody getting up and wanting to walk away, don't think, oh, that person's wanting to wander, that is often said. They actually might be trying to get out of something that's just darn uncomfortable and overwhelming. Now, to help us think about that in more detail, I'm joined by Agnes Houston, who's written Talking Sense, a book that thinks about the sensory impacts of dementia on the person. And we want to particularly talk to Agnes about what her tips would be for helping manage noise. Agnes, we know that Christmas can be a wonderful time of gathering, but it is busy. Are there any thoughts you have on how to manage in these times, particularly around thinking about noise?
I think it's the sensory overload. And, you know, I know we're picking up in the sense of noise, but it can impact in all your senses, as you know. And there'll be one in particular that could trigger one thing and then it leads on to another, to another, to another. So if I was planning to have like my dad over, sadly he's dead, but you know, and all my family were coming to my home at Christmas, which used to happen many years in the past, with the knowledge I have now, I would be thinking very carefully and planning before the event took place and looking at where would I be positioning my dad at the table. In the middle would not be a good idea because you're getting too much cluttered and what have you. At the end of the table would be better. Who would buddy up with him? Who isn't the noisiest party goer? You know, and give that person some tips so that they could make it a best experience for my dad, for instance, so that if he was getting a bit agitated and he needed to go to the toilet and the noise was disorientating him and he couldn't find his way because the noise is distorting his sense of wayfinding and that person would know and then would have the verbal knowledge to say, John, I'm going to the toilet. Are you wanting to go? As women do it all the time, we always go to the toilet in twos, you know. So it's doing that, buddying up and letting the family know that the person might have extra needs. Because if you're the hostess or the host, you won't have time always to keep your eye out, you know. And I think, yeah, you make a plan and say that if we're listening to music, it's kept at a certain level. I actually would have earbuds or little things so that the choice would be there that they could sit and enjoy the ambience and seeing, but not have the sense of the hearing coming in, you know, the overload of noise.
Agnes, thank you so much for quite a number of tips that we need to be thinking about. And you can access Agnes's book, Talking Sense, at dementiacentre.com and get even more ideas about thinking about how we make a successful Christmas for not only everybody that's there, but the person with dementia who's at the heart of it. Thank you, Agnes.
It's important to think about the various ways that we need to help somebody with dementia take in the information and be aware of what's happening around them. So speaking more slowly and being patient can often be important. The temptation to repeat ourselves can often end up backing up information that the person's not already had time to process in their brain. So pausing is important and clearly smiling and being in front of the person, making sure that they can see and hear us, is all important as we try to help and aid good communication. It's also important to think about what might help the conversation keep going. So at Christmas, you've got a wealth of gifts and presents that can be part of the conversation, but you can't beat things like those photo albums or old movies, all of which can encourage us to draw on memories, to remember things of the past, and to help have those conversations, but also to make the person feel in control and be able to be part of the conversation. I'm delighted to be joined by Colleen MacDonald. Colleen is a residential manager at Hammond Care Southwood facility. Now, Colleen, you must have plenty of memories to share of families engaging over the Christmas period.
We probably had a few examples over the years that I've observed. I know that families have approached me in the past to ask if they could bring in a fruitcake that they have made. And when I've delved further into that, they've explained to me that that was their mum's recipe. And they remember as children that their mother used to make that for the family, and it was shared amongst other family members and sometimes people of the neighbourhood. And that was something that they, think is so special and want to carry on that tradition because it's their mother's recipe. So, of course, we welcome that coming in to make someone's day special. So that's one aspect of it. There could be something from a person's childhood that they recall. My mum or my dad always put this up at Christmas. Could I bring this to put in their room? Again, to stimulate those memories and traditions that people carry with them. But in particular, I was privileged enough to have an experience with a resident who was very, very advanced in their dementia, could no longer verbally communicate or communicated with very little words. And over a Christmas luncheon, we had her daughter here, and her daughter sat, face to face with her and was talking to her mum and saying, I love you because, and had so many things to say, and saying, I love you because when I was little, you were so good to me and you cared for me and Christmas was special. And when she went to say again, I love you because, the resident looked at her and said, you. And it was just one of those moments where the resident got one word out, but we knew the missing word was, I love you. So that was really, really special. And the comfort and just the peace on the resident's face was really special, but even more special seeing the daughter walk away with that memory for her, brought a bit of a tear to all of our eye, I think.
Thank you so much, Colleen. And to everybody for listening and all my guests, especially you, Agnes Houston, for your words of wisdom. Now, don't hesitate to join us in part two, where we're going to focus on festivities and food. But for now, thank you for listening.